The schoolroom may have been part of an older building, for its ceiling was lower, and the windows a bit smaller than those in the grand rooms. But the windows still looked straight onto the firth. From then, and from the low wall that divided the garden from the road, we could watch day and night a panorama of constantly moving vessels, small boats and ferries, discharging men as in a film onto the quay. Very soon we came to understand something of the water pageant we watched and to distinguish the different ships and their attendant boats. Each captain had a picket boat, a small motor launch, a large brass-funnelled steam launches, carried the crews ashore. We at once came to know our father's picket boat and to tell when it left the side of the ship to bring him home. His ship was at first the Champion, a light cruiser and destroyer leader, rather bigger than the destroyers, which at the time were the smallest ships in the Navy. They were berthed in a long line of as many as 60 ships above the bridge and upriver towards Rosyth. The big battleships, with the flagship Queen Elizabeth, were berthed opposite Rosyth, where the river widens into a broad basin called the Hope. Below the bridge lay the battle cruiser squadron, I think the 5th, which had been commanded by Admiral Beatty at the Battle of Jutland, and had done nearly all the fighting in that battle. Among them were the Lion and the Repulse. In consequence of the battle, Beatty had now been promoted to be Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Fleet and had moved to the flagship. When they went to sea, the big ships were always attended by their own particular destroyers, and the flagship, even when berthed, was attended by the Oak, which always seemed the smallest of all the destroyers, with the most gleaming paint, and it looked like a little white seal nestling up against the bulk of her mother ship. My father remained in the Champion until November 1917. He was Captain D, or Commander, of the 13th Flotilla, the largest of the Grand Fleet destroyer flotillas, with 34 ships under his command. He was also second in overall command of the 5 destroyer flotillas and had responsibility for the enlargement and completion of Port Edgar on the north side of the Firth of Forth as a base, providing pens for refuelling and restocking all the ships. Drawing on his experience in Mexico, he had the idea of building an oil pipeline across Scotland from the Clyde to the Firth of Forth to ease the flow of fuel to the shortage tanks at Port Edgar, something that was completed before the end of the war. In November 1917, Admiral Beatty appointed him Commodore of the Grand Fleet Destroyers. In doing so, he told him he would give him only one bit of advice. Never suffer fools gladly. He also told him that if you can't do it, handle the destroyers, I'll very soon find someone else who can. As Commodore, he had 106. Later on, it was 120 destroyers, 5 light cruisers, including his own, 5 depot ships, and a naval dockyard. A total of 12,000 men under his command. He moved to the Castor, which replaced Champion under our windows. I was sorry to lose her, for she was such a beautiful ship. I think she was a little smaller than the Castor, and built for speed with lovely lines. My father was not pleased at being promoted. He thought it would mean too much administration, and he would lose his 13th flotilla, which he had enjoyed exercising at sea. He reckoned that as Captain D, he had worked for about 14 hours a day for 7 days a week. But as Commodore, he had to work for 16 hours a day for 7 days a week. Commodore was not then a permanent rank. The Castor flew his broad pennant and not a flag. He was, as one of his critics put it, only a jumped-up captain and a junior one at that, with only 3 years seniority, and, in the opinion of some rear admirals, too much power. Only in war could a relatively junior officer be given so much responsibility. Although he had misgivings about taking the role of Commodore, he had no choice in the matter, and he found the task varied and challenging. In his final report, he recommended that it would be better for the destroyers to be under a flag officer in future, to give their interests more weight. And this happened when he left. He also recommended the Commodore be in a bigger ship, a cruiser, to accommodate the extra staff and office equipment needed to administer so many ships. In the Castor, the printing press had to be accommodated in a spare oil bunker. Poor printers.